Today is United States against Rollerson. Mr. Westover.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Westover, sorry.
No problem. Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Blair Westover, and I represent defendant appellant Mr. Ian Rollerson. The question, I guess, as I see it today, is whether the district court was justified in relying on the PSIR's sort of summary of the search warrant application, alleging that Mr. Rollerson engaged in four transactions with the cooperating source in the couple of months prior to his arrest. It's our position that the PSIR's summary of that warrant, or the allegations in the search warrant affidavit, amounts to a naked and unsupported charge. At least in the absence of information as to what the warrant actually said. That is, you know.
So Ms. Westover, is Campbell's affidavit for the search warrant part of the district court record before us?
It's part of the district court record, and the district court said that it was relying on it. As we note in our brief, that search warrant, that Campbell's complaint discusses those controlled purchases in two sentences and says controlled purchases happen, fentanyl and heroin were discovered. Campbell doesn't provide any information about, you know, what documents he was relying on when he said that.
Ms. Westover, we couldn't find the search warrant affidavit in the record.
Yeah, not the complaint affidavit, but the search warrant affidavit.
I'm sorry. I answered the wrong question. The search warrant affidavit is not in the record at all.
Why not? The defense presumably had it, right?
We did get a copy of it, yes.
So if there was a problem, why not put it in front of the court and address it?
I think I'm probably going to give the same answer to that question that the government would give if asked, and the answer is we didn't think we had to.
If both sides want to play the finesse game, relying on the burden of proof, it's hard for me to see a reason to reverse whichever way the court went.
If I could, there.
Particularly given we don't know a lot, at least on in this appeal, we don't know a lot about what that search warrant affidavit said. But we have a pretty good idea that it was corroborated after the fact with 4 kilograms of fentanyl and $153,000 in cash in the locations that were searched, not to mention the defendant's statement that he was responsible for dealing at the Madison court, if I've got that address right, but the Madison court stash house.
It's Majestic, I think, but... it's the Indianapolis house.
Okay. Majestic. Thank you.
That's how I've been referring to it. To take them in turn, I don't think that the finding of the fentanyl is going to be dispositive proof of the corroboration, just because, you know, one, the fact that somebody was a drug dealer, you know, this court has held on one occasion, doesn't justify the district court in finding for relevant conduct purposes. That isn't corroboration that allows the district court to find for relevant conduct purposes that specific transactions occurred.
I take it that the affiant was making these representations based not only, you know, on what the informant said, what drugs the informant turned over as well, and what the surveillance officers observed and recorded. And even if Judge Hanlon never saw that affidavit, if no question was raised as to the accuracy of the probation officer's summary of that affidavit, why could he not rely on the pre-sentence report?
It's our position that the reliability has to be established before it's the defendant's obligation to do something that other than a bare denial. And in this case, I certainly don't think the affidavit because it doesn't include any the PSIR, because it doesn't include any of the details about what the affidavit said. And we can assume, or one can assume stuff about it. We don't know. For all, you know, controlled substances, what constitutes a controlled purchase varies from situation to situation. You know, sometimes it's full video recording and sometimes it's just sending the guy out there to try to make a deal. So we don't have that information.
Well, you did have that information, but didn't present it to the district court, right?
That's correct. And again, I wasn't there. You know, the fact that the district court has to find isn't what the warrant says or doesn't say. It's that these controlled substance purchases happened, right? And I really do think that it is in situations where you have something that, you know, if it occurred, should be easily and readily provable by the government. I really do think it should be enough for the defense to say, you know, move forward with the evidence. And depending on what the search warrant affidavit said, it might not even be enough. You know, this is a situation where this court has cautioned that district courts should be careful about ensuring that reliability is established. The defendant's sentence was increased up, or the guideline range was increased upwards of 5 times because of this finding. And this is a situation where the government could have made these allegations at trial. Certainly the district court said that it would have assisted the fact finder if they had made them at trial, and they explicitly held them back for the purpose and for the explicit purpose of avoiding discovery, right? And so I think in that set of facts, it really should be on the government to prove reliability before the defendant's burden to challenge with something other than a denial is sort of pinged. Campbell's affidavit in the complaint, I obviously don't think that provides the corroborating reliability.
Clearly it doesn't. That's not the point.
Okay, but I agree. They did find fentanyl at the house, and I understand that that's some amount, you know. Yes, that's something, but it's not like this is a situation where some other witness was testifying at trial that they had seen Mr. Rollerson with the fentanyl, right? Or seen him or have saw him selling fentanyl before. And we did present some evidence, or at least reason to believe at trial, that the fentanyl found at that apartment, he didn't know about it. It didn't have to do with him in that sense. You know, it's a weird thing for someone to do, to hand keys to an apartment to an FBI agent and say, or DEA agent, and say, I know you're gonna search it, you're gonna find heroin, and not to mention any of the other drugs if he knew about them. So that's at least some reason to deny.
Well, he forgot about the $90,000 in the laundry bag, right?
Sure. I mean, he didn't mention all of the money.
I don't mean to be snarky about it, but I mean, it was not.
No, I understand the point. I think that 4 kilograms of fentanyl is a lot to forget about if he's, you know, keeping it there in the apartment. I'm into my rebuttal time, so unless there are any immediate questions, I'd like to reserve the rest if I could.
Certainly, counsel. Ms. Langenecht.
May it please the court, Laura Langenecht for the United States. The district judge in this case presided over a 2-day jury trial at which law enforcement officers testified that the defendant admitted he was the only one involved in the drug sales and gave them the key to his stash house, where they found military-grade weapons and distribution quantities of drugs, as Your Honor mentioned, 4 kilograms of fentanyl, among other items. The jury then convicted the defendant.
When you say military-grade, I assume these were semi-automatic rather than automatic?
I believe so, yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thanks.
The defendant now contends that it was clear error for the district judge to rely on statements in the PSR describing him selling heroin at that very same stash house mere days before law enforcement searched it and arrested him. 2 days of trial evidence is not enough, according to the defendant, but this court's precedent says the opposite. Both Mays and Smith stand for the proposition that trial and record evidence can corroborate the PSR. In fact, Mays is very analogous here.
What, if anything, does the search warrant affidavit disclose about the confidential informant's reliability?
Your Honor, I did not receive a copy of the search warrant affidavit.
You haven't seen it either?
No, Your Honor. It was not in the record.
Okay.
God.
But
this is like a game of blind man's bluff. And
did it make you like wonder?
Your Honor, after hearing that he had the key to the apartment that had the 4 kilograms of fentanyl in it, it did not make me wonder.
What if there were 20 keys to that apartment?
I think that's a fact that opposing counsel raised as a possibility to the district court, and that the district court considered and rejected in the factual finding that is reviewed for clear error. And in this circumstance, Your Honor, Mays and Smith established that the district court can rely on the PSR, as it did here, when corroborated by all of this evidence at trial. If the court has nothing more for me, I'll request that this court affirm the sentence below. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Ms. Westover?
I just wanted to clear up one specific sort of factual claim or statement. And that is, the district court explicitly relied on the controlled purchases in finding that the fentanyl at the apartment was attributable to Mr. Rollerson. So the court said yes, and of course, as this court has pointed out, said I'm relying on the controlled substance purchases in part because they're corroborated by the trial evidence. But the district court clarified, defense counsel, we asked to clarify, to say, so you are relying on the controlled purchases to find the fentanyl at the apartment, and the district court said yes, and that's on page 17 and 18 of the appendix. So that's one thing. The second thing, briefly, that I wanted to point out is in answer to Judge Rovner's question, I have seen the affidavit. I requested it. It is outside the record, and because I saw it for exactly the reasons that you asked about, I was curious. But I was not trial counsel, but I have seen the affidavit. If you have any, it would be outside the record, though. And with that, unless there are any questions from this court, we would ask that you reverse the district court's sentence. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken on. Okay, our fifth case.